The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Simon Constable, a writing for the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications in Edinburgh, Scotland. We begin with Queen Elizabeth I. And news of Queen Elizabeth I, you have seen general stories that her physicians are advising her not to be quite as ferocious in her attendance of her subjects these last weeks. We now have the story from Britain that the Queen's message delivered to the General Synod of the Anglican Church was delivered by her son, Prince Edward, the Earl of Wessex. I read that from the BBC reporting, it is the first time in its 51-year history that the Queen has missed the event of addressing the General Synod. Simon, a very good day to you. You are a lucky man because your whole life has been illustrated by the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. I acknowledge as much. The first time I knew about the Queen and the King was when I saw a picture in Life magazine of Charles, her son, I believe his first day at Eton, and I thought, we were born in the same year, 1948. So then I asked myself, who's his mom? And that's when I learned about Queen Elizabeth I. However, and her many duties all the time. Now her physicians are advising her to rest. She's 95. Her mother is easily a century and more. So I expect the Queen to get a century and more. What is your memory, your first memories of the Queen when you learned about her duties and her responsibilities? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John, too. The Queen has been with me, you know, all my life. Everything from she's on the money. Literally every coin I have ever seen in Britain has a portrait of the Queen on it. Every note has a picture of the Queen on it. Certainly Bank of England notes do, those from Scotland tend not to, but she's an ever present part of our society. The Queen's Christmas address, when I was a kid, she would make an address on television or on radio, so we could all hear it. And, you know, she's been an ever present part of that life. The biggest thing that happened was in 1977, which was her 25th, jubilee year. She'd been on the crown for 25 years. And that was a very big deal. She got to be queen when she was a very tender age of 25. And then that was, filmed and broadcast, making it at that point the largest broadcast ever. And she has continued to serve the British people in a way that is really quite incredible. She is full of duty. She goes out. As you said, she was going to address the Synod of the Church of England. She is technically the head of the Church of England, the Anglican Church, and that goes back to her ancestor, Henry VIII, when Henry split with Rome. And so she's the defender of the faith and has a very important role there. And the fact that she hasn't missed a single one of those meetings in 51 years of doing that really says everything we need to know about her. She is dedicated to her role as head of state, head of the armed services, head of the church, and lots of other things too. I think this is very sad that she's ill, but we want her to keep going and going and going.
We go to the work of the British people these last weeks. Centered in Glasgow, Scotland, your near neighbor to Edinburgh, and you traveled to Glasgow during COP26. You have published in the Wall Street Journal in these hours an article summarizing what the investor class made of COP26 and what is next. First of all, we need some definitions. What is ESG investing, Simon? What place does it hold?
Well, this is the new big thing. It's been around for a while, but it's become big. And in that sense, the bigness is new. ESG is environmental, social and governance. And there are principles around investing in sustainable business models. So it must be environmentally sustainable, socially sustainable, and the governance must be good. It must be, you know, thorough so that companies are not just sort of playing fast and loose. What I looked at was I looked at mutual funds and exchange traded funds and the inflows into those funds that were rated as ESG funds over the first 10 months of 2021. That's this year. And what was really interesting here was that it was the E, the environmental bit, that was getting most of the new money coming in this year. And that was really interesting to me. So let me just get these notes in front of me. The way I got this, I got this data from Morningstar, and they have attributes that they attach to various different funds. So one's low carbon fossil fuel free. And that had inflows of $28.3 billion in the first 10 months of the year. And then environmental, which is a broader one, and there may be some overlap there, that was $13.5 billion. Again, a lot of money. But then you compare that with other things like community development, other impact themes, and gender and diversity, and they were between $5 billion and $7.5 billion. So a lot lower there. It's really interesting. The green part of everything is much more appealing, it appears, to investors. And you can partly see that because it's a very tangible thing. You can look outside and see if there are trees growing or if the waterways are polluted or if the air is clean. You can see all of that. It's very much harder to see those other things when you look at
social. All right, let's plunge into what qualifies as green. Tesla, green, yes, despite the fact that it's making a moonshot, it's green.
Apparently, yes.
Waste management companies, green, yes, fine.
Some of them, yes, definitely, yes. You're right, it's absolutely a very tricky area. It's a very thin line between what is green. I mean, so transitioning from gasoline cars and trucks to electric cars and trucks requires digging loads and loads of holes in the ground to get out metals. And that requires big trucks, usually diesel powered trucks, to dig everything up. So there is a bit of uncleanness in getting to the cleanness. And this is a paradox I have raised with absolutely everyone I've talked to about this. It's really funny. Your electric vehicle, if you have one, if you're lucky enough to have one, in the US, 20% of the electricity is going to be made by coal. That's fascinating. How green is that? And yet, I think Tesla is definitely part of the movement to get us to green.
Green, and then we can imagine green as a selling point, and it's working for the investor class. Whatever is defined as green, and there's some loose definitions here.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that. But the S and the G, S is a challenge to me right away. I couldn't name an S stock unless, of course, you're talking about buying a share of the Green Bay Packers. That sounds sociable. It's now for sale. Okay. So besides investing in a sports team, what is understood as a social investment?
Well, one of the social investments, there's ETFs and mutual funds that specialize in this, and one of them would be gender and diversity. So there's a fund called SHE, S-H-E, which tracks firms that have a good representation of women in top management and on the boards. So if you can look at that, that would be one example of that. You have companies that invest in municipal debt. That's the borrowings made by municipalities who want to do socially good things with that money that they borrow. So that might be getting the water cleaner, where, you know, we know that some towns in the U.S., they've had bad water, which has been poisoning the local people. So that will be seen as good community development. So you get the idea there. It's a lot more nebulous than we're going to build a windmill. So those would be some examples of that.
So social is nowhere near as easy to define as green. But if it's green, it would be social at the same time, because this is a trend. Now the big mystery, governance, which the Wall Street Journal acknowledges is a mystery. If it's a mystery to the WSJ, we're not going to solve it here. But can we guess what governance is? Is this governance of a company, governance of a country? For example, we know that the People's Republic of China has a heavy hand in every one of its businesses, everywhere. And recently there has been reporting of insisting that members of the Communist Party are on the board of even private enterprises. That questions the governance of those companies. Is that something we seek to, we seek in other countries to make sure we're not buying into a company that is at least influenced by the People's Republic of China? And that would include a lot of companies that have been successful these last years.
So what my take on governance, which is in the article here, is it well run? Is it run by, you know, normal good principles of managing things? Are the decisions made in an appropriate and systematic way? Or is it somebody just running fast and loose? So if a company, you know, has a compensation board that decides the CEO's pay, that is completely independent of the CEO. That would be considered good governance, because sometimes CEOs get to choose their own pay. That would be considered not good governance. I mean, most people don't get to decide how much their company pays them. And there are methods to go through that. Is the company trying to make things good for their workers? Are they paying their bills on time? Lots and lots of things like that. Now, most of the very large companies of America that came of age after World War II have exceptionally good governance. Now, that's tightened up over time, and it will likely continue to do so. And part of the movement on governance now is to get more diversity, both in gender and ethnic background, of the people in top management. So that's all there. But again, it's not as easy to put your finger on and say, you know, you can say that's green and that isn't. It's very much hard to say that's good governance as a whole for that company versus that one isn't. It's a much harder thing.
Simon Constable, reporting for the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications about ESG investing. One of the successes of the conversation in Glasgow, COP26, these last weeks, is what is to be done by the investor class, by those of us who buy shares in company, and how to judge those companies as we go forward. When we come back, the virus is still with us. The pandemic is still surrounding us. And there are reports on the continent that may be coming Simon's way in Britain and Scotland. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.